Well, good evening, everyone. Time to start our worship service this evening. Let's all stand if it's convenient for you and leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Well, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Well, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Well, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. Any sorrow bears a heart that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
All right. One more song before Pastor Lanny. One Thing Remains.
Stronger than the power of the grave. your love never fails and never gives up. You never run down on me.
What we're going to do, guys, is finish up where we left off this morning. And so, guys could pull that PowerPoint back up. And we will start with point number one. We didn't get along very good, did we? Let's start with Acts 11, and read our text one more time. What I have to say may not amount to much, but what God has to say amounts to a whole lot. And so we'll start with His Word. Remember these folks that'll be... their families will be having these funerals this week. Cal Laughlin's is in the morning at 10 o'clock. And Charlene's is Tuesday afternoon at 2. I hope I got that right. At Boxley. And it'll be a graveside service. Time passes right on, doesn't it? We grow older and our health gives out, and we pass on like the dew, the Bible says. The sun rises and the dew is gone. We don't even hardly remember that it was there. But, Charlene was a very productive worker in the church when I first came 30 years ago. She was involved in everything that the church did. She is here for every service. We've eaten at her table a number of times, and she always made sure that her grandkids was involved in Vacation Bible School. She'd keep them, and they would come to Vacation Bible School here, and she is always involved in that. And those children, of course, have grown up and have families of their own now. I'm always amazed. I just returned from Cal's visitation, and the line was all the way out the door, and I got started shaking people's hands and hugging them, folks that I'd known, and kids that had grown up. I'm telling you, it's just unbelievable how time passes by, and they grow up, have their own kids, and some young men that was little boys here in church, and now they're big old guys with great big beards and stuff. It just moves right on. But pray for those services, and pray for me that God will use me, that I'll be salt and light for those folks. I'm sure that folks that will be at that funeral, 100% of them surely won't be Christians. And so there'll be folks that are there that are lost that need to hear the gospel message. And perhaps their heart will decide for eternity for themselves that they will accept Christ as their Savior. Acts 11, beginning with verse 19. I know it's a little lengthy reading, but I think it's good for us. Let's stand together. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the word, preaching the Lord Jesus. And these Grecians were Grecian Jews. But we find out that real quick, the gospel spreads to us Gentiles, and we receive the gospel and get saved. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And when you read the book of Acts as a whole, you start with chapter 1, you read through 11 or 12, that there was this great power of the Holy Spirit that was convincing people that this is the truth. This is what the truth is. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, and that's our buddy, and we're going to be talking about him more tonight, that he should go as far as Antioch. And it was here in Antioch that they were first called Christians, and we don't know if that was a criticism, little Christ, or if that was just a name that hung on. But we're glad it did, and we are very proud to be called Christians today, aren't we? Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them. So he has the gift of exhortation, encouragement. The disciples called him the son of consolation. They gave him that name, Barnabas. And he exhorted them all that with one purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now that's That's good news. It's good advice, isn't it? Cleave to the Lord. Hang on to the Lord. For he was a good man, talking about Barnabas, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. You may be seated. I meant to get, farther along this morning than I did. But I want us to look, first of all, at exposing the spirit of discouragement. When we're talking about encouragement and being an encouragement to people, that there is this spirit of discouragement that you and I have to deal with all of the time. And by the way, we have an enemy, the devil, who is a discourager. He discourages us all of the time. I remember seeing a cartoon several years ago. And the cartoon portrayed this. It was dark. You could see the stars out. It was showing through a window. You could see the moon and the stars. And this guy was in his pajamas, and he was looking out the window at night, at dark, at his water hose. And he said, just as I expected. It was tying itself in knots out there during the night. Well, I think that's what the devil does to us. He ties our water holes in knots. He allows, now this is small matters, but it seems like that when I start trying to drag an extension cord across the floor, it can get hung on everything that there is. And I get to thinking that maybe the devil is pulling that around stuff and hooking it to stuff. He is in our life. He is doing that in our life in a real way that we cannot see. And there's things in our life, of course, much more important than water hoses and extension cords. But he is involved in our life to try to discourage us all the time. I want to mention about three things. I didn't come up with these on my own. This is someone else, I'm sure. But many people experience discouragement sometimes when they don't get enough rest. Folks can overdo themselves. They can, even in church, they can get involved doing so many things and so many jobs that they don't do a good job at anything, and they get discouraged. And they want to, instead of lightening the load, they want to quit everything. But when folks get overwhelmed with too many things to do and they don't get enough rest, many times they get discouraged. Sometimes poor health. There can be something going on in a person's life as far as their health that can bring about discouragement in their life. And there's sometimes some things that we don't even, are not even aware of. I'll tell you, this COVID deal has been a discouragement to a lot of people. And I can see why. Gwen and I had it. We know how you can get discouraged. And then sometimes failure, some apparent failure, can bring us discouragement. But you know, God is in control. And sometimes he allows some things in our... He closes some doors that might seem like failure to us, because he's wanting us to go this other direction, and so he opens this door in this other direction that he wants us to go. And then when we do what the Bible says to do, trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him and he'll direct our path, we discover this was the path that the Lord was leading us down. This was the path that the Lord wanted us to go down. I try to fix things, do you? And my big problem is that I try to fix things in people's lives sometimes. Sometimes in my own life, whenever God wants me to stand to the side and pray and pray and pray. I think I've told you this before, but there was a discouraging time in my life when Gwen and I were in college, and boy, I tell you, the finances were very slim, and we had a Volkswagen, and if you have one, I'm sorry, but we'd had several of them, and I couldn't get it in my mind that we needed something else, but the motor was bad in it, and I had in my mind that what we needed was a motor, and I was praying for a motor. But you know what we needed was a car, and I couldn't realize that. And the church that we were pastoring at the time, some of the men came to me, a couple of men came to me, and wanted me to go and look at a car. And I said, it wouldn't do me any good because I ain't got enough money to buy sitting here. And they said, well, come with us anyway. We just want you to look at this and see what you think of it. And it was a pretty nice Chevrolet station wagon. We had three kids. We had a pretty good-sized family. And and we drove it, and I said, whoops, nice car, but I can't afford it. I can't buy this. Both of us are in college, and I'm just trying to keep the thing I've got on the road. And they said, well, you're not going to need to buy it. What we're going to do is buy it for you and loan it to you as long as you're pastor of our church. I guess they got a little embarrassed about what I was driving, but they... What I needed was a car. I didn't need a motor. And we discovered that was even though we weren't praying for a car, that was the answer to our prayers. And that met our need so much. I want us to see that talk that doesn't edify fans the fires of discouragement. You know that the Lord has given us instruction to edify, to build people up, to lift folks up. Look at Proverbs, the 26th chapter, and look at verse 21. And it says, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a pot shred covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Discouragers or discouragement, and especially discouragers, will try to discredit the work of God that's being done. Now, I'm not going to read a lot in Nehemiah, but in Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, there was a guy named Tobiah. He was an Ammonite, and the Ammonites were enemies of God. And so we see the example played out. And this is what Tobiah told the children of Israel as they were building the wall around Jerusalem. He said, it won't do you any good. You build that wall, and if a fox were to run up on it, he'd tear it down. Now, that's discouraging. Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Okay, let's go back not to the discouragement, but to encouragement. An encourager seeks to meet the needs of others without regard to what it cost him. In Acts, the fourth chapter, and I'm not going to go back there, but you know the story because we've covered it very well. They gave their own stuff to help others. They gave their own stuff to help others. We reach a landmark when we come to a place in our own lives to want to encourage people so bad that we are willing to give of our own stuff in order to be an encourager to them. I believe that that's where God wants us to be at. And by the way, and you don't do it for this reason, it'd be the wrong reason to do it. But I always have this in the back of my mind. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And that whenever we give of our own resources, it opens the door for God to give back to us into our resources. And I may have miscalculated that verse or misinterpreted it, but I tell you, it's worked in our life for the last 50 years. It's what God has done in our life. He has always met our needs. Whenever God laid it on our heart to meet the need of someone else, He has always done something to meet our needs. An encourager will use his gift of exhortation. Now, that's a big old long word, but it just literally means encouragement. It means to be an encourager. An encourager will use his gift of exhortation to preserve the results of evangelism. Now, this is our text again, but look at verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. Who are we talking about here? Barnabas did this. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What a great verse. With purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. And that's where you and I need to be at. In Acts 13, verse 43, Paul and Barnabas persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. In Acts 14, verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. In Titus 1, in verse 9, the pastor is to be an encourager. He's to be one that encourages people to do what God has called them to do. And then finally, an encourager will see the potential in every person. I'm not sure that I do that, but that's what I want to do. In Acts 9, Barnabas sees potential in Paul when people were afraid of him. And Barnabas puts his head on the chop block and brings Paul to him and said, "Listen, I've heard him preach. I've heard him witness to folks. And he's witnessing for the Lord." And then in the 15th chapter of Acts, John Mark pulls a dumb stunt and gets Paul on his bad side. And Paul don't want to take him with him to the work. But Barnabas says, "No, let's take him." And I said this morning, the contention became so strong between them that they parted ways. And Paul took Silas with him, and Barnabas took John Mark with him. And he just stayed with the stuff. Now, you know, for us to be so strong an encourager that we're not going to allow other people to discourage folks, that takes quite a character. Lyle would say, I'm through. Let's stand together. All right. Anyone need to say anything? You got anything? You got it? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer's a good encourager. She'll do a good job at that. Anyone else? Anyone have anything else they want to? You know, sometimes we don't have to say anything. We just lay a hand on someone's shoulder or just show up, stand beside them. Love on them a little bit. That's an encouragement to folks. And it seems to me that whenever we are encouragers, that it encourages us, that it moves us forward also. Brother David Ray, would you lead us in a word of prayer?